Later this week, Tana Productions will be presenting a very original presentation at the Grandel Theater, utilizing just about all of the components of the performing arts. These days, a lot of time is spent making note of differences in the ethnicity, religion, and values of people. The Tana production of Between Worlds, An American Journey is designed to focus on just the opposite, on the similarities, and on how the multicultural influences intersect, affecting us all. The production pulls out all of the stops, utilizing acting, poetry, music, and dance. Joining me in studio are Cecilia Nadal, the founder and executive director of Gitana Productions. She wrote the play. Vivian Anderson-Watt is the show's choreographer and director. And Richard Cohen is an actor in the production. Thank you all so much for being with us. Richard, let me ask you to come a little closer to the microphone, okay, if you will? I know you've got that stage actor's voice and a lot of projection, but you need to be a little bit closer. Cecilia, welcome to all of you. Good to have you with us. Cecilia, let me start with you as the author, the playwright, if you will. Talk about the challenges you face because the subject matter seems so broad.
Huge challenges, yeah. But welcome challenges, challenges that need to be addressed in this time. Mm-hmm. As you know, my whole dedication to Gitana has been cross-cultural engagement. And we're at a time now that we're being challenged to stand up for democracy.
Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. I think everybody has noticed that. And my the basic underlying principle to this play is that the only way that we can challenge what is going on in threats to democracy is that we have to accelerate our relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. And those relationships need to go across cultures. If we are divided, we don't have a way to be we the people, which is the basic tenet to democracy.
From what I understand, you go beyond cross cultures. You go beyond, you cross centuries, as a matter of fact.
That's true. Well, culture is historically based and based in the present. And there's so much that we need to remember that informs the steps that we take with relationships now. Hmm. For example, we have an actor who plays Absalom, who is a slave. Mm-hmm. And he has an interaction with a current-day rapper, African-American. And Absalom tells his story of what he went through and how, which I won't give you all the details. Mm-hmm. And that rapper is put in the position of sort of remembering the sacrifice that has been given by slaves before him. And in his own courage and his own audacity as a rapper, there is an intimacy that takes place between the two. Well, when I think about relationships in democracy, I remember slavery, and I remember how hard we have all strived to get past slavery. Some would argue whether we're truly a post-slavery society, but nonetheless, remembering that is very important to relationships. It's also true in the play that we talk about an Irishman who comes over from Ireland during the famine and gives his life for 7 years in the coal mines. And he winds up meeting some freed slaves in New York. In meeting those freed slaves, he's got a decision as to whether he will stay distant from them or look at them as they are and look at where the connections are. And indeed, he chooses to deal with the connections. So we try to deal with multiple perspectives. We draw on history a bit to remind us of what we have been fighting for a long time. But we also use history as a kind of sifter of people in the present so that we can look at where they're standing against those principles that we fought for.
How large a cast do you have?
Gosh, it's 14 people.
That's a lot of people on a relatively small stage.
It is.
Vivian, what sort of problems does this create for you, having to kind of direct it, choreograph it, and put it all together?
I don't consider them problems. They're always challenges. And Nadal, Cecilia, who I call Nadal affectionately, has really tasked me with this performance. Because I think for me, getting the audience to see the connections and the actors to understand that at this point, we're not just acting, but you really need to understand that this is the real world, and this is your life also. And are you as engaged in this as the actors that you are portraying? So it's been really, but I think it's interesting because we do get to put in the dance. You know, we do get some music up in there. We do get some lights and action and camera. So it's, you know, all of that put together with the actual script should be a really entertaining evening.
Richard, I understand that you've been away from the acting profession for a
while. I went 39 years without acting. That's since 1976.
What was it about this production that brought you back?
To a degree, Cecilia.
It's always Cecilia. When it comes to Hitchada, it's always Cecilia.
Which shows that I probably am mentally ill still. But Cecilia saw me in another play. Mm-hmm. And when she told me about this play, and I found it interesting. It certainly is not a bit of fluff. It's there's humor in it, but it's a serious play about a serious subject. And in my life, due to a job, but also what I'm interested in, I've been around hundreds of Africans, Americans, if not over 1,000. And I was always treated very warmly and welcome in people's homes. So this particular character, I play Michael Dalton, spent over 20 years connecting black Catholics and white Catholics. And my God, that appealed to me. You know, I certainly didn't do anything of his quality and lasting effect. However, the fact that he was motivated by this and evidently did a very effective job, appealed to me, made the character more appealing. And so in spite of the fact that Cecilia and Vivian were involved, I thought this play is worthwhile to do.
In spite of the fact that
yeah. I knew he was going to put that in there somewhere.
My impression also, Cecilia, is that some of this is extemporaneous, that you give themes and let the actors and everybody just kind of go.
Well,
is that right?
It certainly would fall in the category of surreal. Mm-hmm. Surreal because we are combining past with present. We are using dance and other elements. I think as I was writing this, my desire was for people not to go into a set script on how they look at democracy. I wanted it to be layered, and I wanted it to be layered between different cultures, and I wanted different presentations in it. And we've got that. That is involved, and I think it's going to allow for people to connect to the theme in different ways.
Does this mean, Vivian, that we're going to see something a little different in each performance?
Well, actually, yes, because there's an element, there is an extraneous element which involves the audience and community audience engagement, which will make a difference each show. So you'd have to come to see what the difference is. And also at the same time, every time an actor does a show, there is something different about how they portray it.
Okay. Richard, talk to me about that from your point of view as one of the performance and actors.
All right. That is one of the appealing things about acting to me, is that I'm constantly changing what I do.
Yes, he does.
And causing grief for the director. We don't care about what the playwright thinks, but I have to be worried about the grief it causes the director. But even when I did repertory theater and did 60 performances, I found even the night before the last performance, there I was trying to change it and see. It's a really wonderful evolutionary process, and that's what's fun. It is fun to tinker with it, say, this worked last night, this didn't. I could change this in this way to be more effective. In my case, I come up with either changing of words or facial animation or body language in order to create a laugh that might not be there by just when you just read the words on the script. And that is a pleasurable feeling for me. I love to hear people laugh. I love to hear people respond, even that if it's not comedic. And I respect and love audiences, and no matter what I've done in performing, and it's still at age 69, it is still a turn on to make people either laugh or you could sometimes feel the audience and know they are feeling what you're trying to get across. And even at this age, I thought I would never act again. I was past it. It's still really, really satisfying. It's
Given the way you're treating Vivian and Cecilia here, I'm not surprised you're out of the business for that many years.
No, unfortunately, no, it was due to mental illness.
Actor, though. Right. Really. No, he is great in this production. He's great, and I mean that with all capital letters.
The idea of bringing in music and poetry, and our current poet laureate in St. Louis is part of your production.
Yes,
tell us about the role that Mr. Castro plays.
Well, Michael wrote an incredible piece called "We Need to Talk," and it's one of the reasons that he is the poet laureate. And within that poem, he really brings down to a very personal level why it is that we need to reach out to other people. Make no mistake about it, post-2016, there are groups that we're looking at that we weren't thinking about before that we really need to talk to, like working-class white people, like working-class black people. So this poem reminds us that that is a very fundamental step that we need to take to become we the people again. He's a connector. He connects the individual dedication to wanting to get to know other people and have relationships with them to that broader set of presentations that exist within the play itself.
Vivian, is there a chance that maybe there's too much content here, too much to think about, and then that people are going to walk out of this production and say, whoa, there's just more than I can handle here?
So you're going to ask me that with the play right here. Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to set me up? Yeah. What's going on here? You know, I mean, you can look at the news every day and think there's too much content. You know, we don't do the paper, but you go online, you read this. It's so much being thrown at us now through all points of media that looking at this, I think that our eyes, our ears, and our heart are open, which is also talked about in this play, that we will take that information. And even if we sift through it and find out what is relevant to us, that is as important as looking at the entire content. So it may have a lot of content, but it's balanced. You know, through the movement, the poetry, the rap, the dance, the other people that I'm not going to tell you about who might be in the show that are a surprise to you, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Cecilia, back to you with the content thing. You've got a lot of stuff going here.
Well, I think we do. It is a risk. There's no question about it. But all risk may prove to be very helpful. Who would have thought that history about Alexander Hamilton and others would have been on stage for as long as
$1,000 a ticket success.
So I think we have to take risks sometimes. And there's no question that I particularly am taking a huge risk after not writing for, 47 years. That's something that Richard and I share, being long away from the actual writing process. But I have been consistently involved in the creative process since we started.
Sure.
Having to find the direction and what we're doing and how. So, yeah, huge risk for coming back after 47 years. But I do think that truly all the elements that are there and the opportunities to find a place in the question of how do I deal with other people that are different than me, and how does that equate to our defense of democracy? I think that theme comes through very clearly.
Was there something specific that generated this project for you, a specific happening, an incident? Was it Ferguson? Was it the election? Was it something else?
It was a gestalt. That's the best way for me to put it. It was a combination of 2016. It was what we saw and when I say 2016, I'm talking about the presidential
the
race. The analysis of that election, the sudden shock that I think we all have felt about where things are going with fundamental things that we believe in. It is my way of radically addressing that.
Richard, let me come back to you with regard to your character. And what is the message of the scenes that you have and the interaction you have with others on the stage? What is the message that your character is delivering in this project?
With warmth, and I think and hope conviction, he shows that even using religion, he shows that it is important for a human being to connect with other human beings, even though superficially they're different. And this is a man who dedicated years and evidently a large chunk of his life, perhaps against a lot of obstacles, of connecting people who are different as far as how they look, in this case their race. But as I've found out over the years, when you start to try to make these connections, you find out that the other people aren't quite as different from you, in this case from me, as I originally thought they were. So it allows me to get, and I think Michael, a better appreciation of our large community and of life itself. And I can see that it not only helped his life, that he became a better, warmer, more effective person, but reading it and portraying it and relating back to my own particular history involved with more than one race, it makes me feel good about the time and portions of my life that I have spent trying to make my own connections with people who are at least superficially different than I.
So this has already impacted you. I mean, it's kind of reinforced something in you.
This particular part. Now, no matter what the part, whether I like it or not, I'm going to put in a serious and sincere effort. Try to use 100%. I don't know if you ever achieved that. But in this one, I get a great deal of pleasure and warmth out of it. I mean, I feel better after a rehearsal than I did coming in. And even when I'm practicing at home alone, the process makes me feel warmer and more, and feel a degree more of good feelings about life. And then when I'm at the theater and rehearsing, I guess using mm-hmm. the present terminology, I feel much higher than I did before the rehearsal started.
It sounds like a great place to be. Vivian, let me put that question to you. Has this project changed you in any sense or way?
I'm tired.
I mean, in a good way.
Yeah. I think what it has done for me is made me see a lot of additional avenues to what I do as a director and a choreographer. And saying that, it's given me some. We're doing it, number one, at a theater that I was housed at for decades. So it's at the Grandale, and it's like coming home to me. Mm-hmm. So when I went into that space, it gave me new ideas about what I could do. And with the people that are in it, I have to commend Cecilia for pulling together so many people of diverse natures and cultures and ideologies. And that, to me, has changed me in how I approach those individuals.
Let me point out, be sure that folks know that this is going to be happening. The show is Between Worlds, An American Journey, June 8th through 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Grandel Theater, June 11th at 3 p.m.
And
5:30 p.m. So there were, what, five performances?
Yes.
A total
mm-hmm.
of five
yes.
performances.
And then we're going to other places in the community.
Well, I wanted yes. to get to that. We have about a minute left, and I did want to point out that you're taking it on the road. You're going to schools. Tell us about your thinking about that.
Well, actually, we're going to churches where theater has never been done before.
Churches, not schools?
Or yeah, not, yeah, they're churches, not schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
For example, we're going to Devotional Baptist Church, which is in Kinloch, and they have never had a live presentation in Kinloch. Mm-hmm. And so our thinking was, we'd like to take this there because the idea of diversity and reaching across cultures should go everywhere. It should not just be in Grand Center, mm-hmm. which we're delighted to be at, but it should be across the region. Then we're going to Most Holy Trinity, which is in the Hyde Park area, 150-year-old organization, and they've never had theater there.
So it's a double exposure for the people who are there, people who have been being exposed to the performing arts, perhaps for the first time, and also to the message of your
program. That's right.
All right. Got to end it right there. I want to thank you so much, Cecilia Nadal, Executive Director of Hitana Productions. Thank you. Great to see you again.
Good to see
Vivian
you.
Vivian Anderson-Watt, so
yes.
Nice to see you.
Always
good luck.
Great.
Break a leg, as they say. This is happening starting tomorrow. And David Cohen, thank you. Congratulations for making it back on the boards.
Thank
Good
you,
luck
sir.
To you.
Appreciate it.
We'll look forward to those reviews. I'm sure they're going to be great. Thank you all. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. This is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.